The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
Take your Bible and go back, if you will, to 1 Samuel chapter 30 and look at verse 6. I'll tell you what, look at verse 3, 4, and 6. The Bible says in verse 3, it says, "So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives." Look at verse 4. The Bible says, "And David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." Look at verse 6. The Bible says, "David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." So please understand the story. Here's the city of Ziklag. The city of Ziklag was a place where they had left their wives and their children behind. They'd gone off to fight. They come back, and of course, you think about the time when they're going off to fight. Perhaps it was a joyful time. Maybe it was a time when they remembered one last time playing with a child in the backyard. You could kind of picture a happy city, if you will. You could picture a city of security, a city, if you would please, that was very, very strong. A city, if you would, that was a city where it just seemed like it was a wholesome type of environment and atmosphere. You could picture the children maybe playing up and down the street, as you could imagine in your mind, as they're leaving the city. You could imagine the smoke that's hurling up, if you will, out of the fireplaces where they had cooked their meal. Maybe the evening meal as the men were going to pull out the next day to go off to battle. You can picture, of course, that last kiss that a mom would give to a wife would give to a husband as he gets ready to go out into battle. Maybe a little kid's running up, hugging daddy around the leg. Maybe a little child running up saying, "Dad, let me sit in your lap one last time. I know you'll be back soon, but I just want to hug on you a little bit." Maybe you could picture a little bit, maybe a mom making a little bit of lunch for the traveling time where he can enjoy one last home-cooked meal, maybe put it in an Israel lunch bag. And so they travel off with that. Maybe as he opens it up, sees some love notes from the children, maybe some love notes from his wife, maybe from a neighbor next door. Just a pleasant time of going off. They've done it many times before. And so they go off, they do the battle, they come back, and as they come back, things are different. The Bible says as they return, the wives and the children are gone. They're taken into captivity. The environment certainly would be different. You could picture in your mind's eye right now as they return to the city, children not playing in the streets anymore. Nobody is playing in the backyard. They go to their individual houses, and they go to them quickly, wondering what lieth therein. They go in, and they see that the house has been cleaned out. None of the wives are there. None of the children are there. Can you imagine the heart-wrenching feeling that a person would have? We said at the funeral for Mrs. Hatch yesterday, and my, did we remember? Of course, my wife reached over in her own kind fashion, knew I was having a hard time. She could feel my stomach quivering as tears was filling my face, and so she reached over just to hold my arm, like, "Mike, it's going to be okay." You know, when there's an absence of somebody that you love, it hurts, and it hurts deep. Sometimes it takes a long time for that to go away, and sometimes it never goes away. I want you to understand how to encourage yourself. Sometimes you find yourself standing all destitute, all by yourself. Nobody understands really the problem you're facing. Nobody understands really the complexity of the matter. Nobody understands really the heart that is lonely. And so you're just left all by yourself. You know, you look in the mirror looking for hope. You see you and think there is no hope. But you've got to learn to encourage yourself. Let me show you what David did, if I could, about how David encouraged himself. Now, you remember, David, of course, had already fought the lion, already fought the bear. You remember, David had victory over the lion, victory over the bear. You remember how David had already faced the Goliath of the day, the Philistine, if you will, the giant. He already had victory there. And so I want to remind you, I believe what David did that day. I think David was able to reach back in his spiritual backpack of victories, his spiritual backpack of memories, and be able to pull something out from history gone by to encourage him on this dreadful day. Now, I don't know if you'll ever face a dreadful day. I don't know. I hope you never do. I hope that your life is just the merry-go-round. We all want that, don't we? I hope that your life is just the ride of your choice, and it's always up and never comes down. I hope that your financial situation is always increasing and you never face a financial reversal. I hope that in your life, all of your relatives are always happy, always singing Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound, always walking through the mall, whistling that which is a hymn to God's glory. I hope that in your life, you always have the spring in your step that is never to be jolted in any way. But to be honest with you, most people don't live that way. To be honest with you, most of the time we go through glitches. Most of the time you will face some setbacks in your life. Now, let me give you what you need to do when you need to encourage yourself. Statement number one, David remembered his past victories. Can you imagine? Here he is. He's now facing an angry mob. He's facing the guys that fought beside him just a little bit in the battle. He's facing them. He's not just facing them saying, fellas, it's going to be okay. He's facing the guys that fought beside him in the battle that now have stones in their hand looking at their leader, and they're ready to pelt him with those stones. They're ready to stone him to death. So David had to do something. Can't turn to his men. They just turned on him. That he can't be able to say, boy, fellas, let's go sit down at the Israeli Starbucks and have a cup of coffee and talk about it. Can't do it. There's no way to be able to do that. And so David does what only David can do. David decides, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to have to encourage myself. Can you get in the mind's eye of imagination? David walking away from the men, maybe running away from the men, but David walking away from the men, finding himself an isolated spot, getting alone and thinking. Maybe he's praying during that dreadful day. And he sits there and he's thinking and he's praying. And all of a sudden now God begins to bring something back to his remembrance. What does God perhaps bring to his remembrance? 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 36. The Bible says, thy servant, listen to it, slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he hath defiled the armies of the living God. I believe David could reach in a spiritual backpack of remembrance and pull something out such as this. He could remember his past victories. He could reach back there and say, yes, it's bad right now. Yes, my plight looks like it's not all rosy, all sunshiny, all pleasant, all happy, all wonderful. There is a glitch. There is a cloud. There is a storm. There is a problem. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to sit down and I'm going to remember the good things of God. I'm going to remember the victories that God has already given me in my life. One of the victories that he brings up is the victory of slaying, if you would please, the lion. Can you imagine? That wasn't a small victory. Lions are fierce animals. Can you imagine that big mouth lion coming after him? And he remembers, I slew it. After that came the bear, bigger than the lion, more fierce than the lion, more deadly than the lion, more frightening than the lion. And here he does the same thing. He kills the bear. Now he's got a man, not running on four, running on 2 feet. Largest man in the nation at that time. Biggest man in the nation at that time. A giant of a man. By the way, if God can kill the little things in your life by you relying on him, God can also kill the giants in your life by you relying on him. You don't have to run from the little things, and you don't have to run from the giants. By the way, there's no greater giant killer than God himself. And so we'll understand, statement number one, David remembered his past victories. He's able to reach back there, feel it, can't feel it yet. Oh, I got something. He pulls it out of that spiritual backpack. He looks at it and says, wow, today is bad. Wow, today is gloomy. Wow, today is a storm. Wow, today is dark. But I remember, I do remember. I remember the day that I had a victory, killed the lion. Remember the day, had the victory, killed the bear. Remember the day, had the victory, giant came in my life. God killed it. By the way, my Bible says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, I'm the Lord thy God. I change not. Can I encourage your heart? If he gave you victory yesterday and he gave you victory a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, he's the same God that can give you victory today. So we understand this. David remembered his past victories. Statement number two, I think he reaches back there just a little bit more. Kind of feels around a little bit, pulls something out, says, man, I need something else. How can you encourage yourself? David did it this way. He remembered his past victories. You can too. Remember when God did answer prayer. Remember when you did have a good relationship with your husband. Wife. Okay, children. Okay, dog. But remember some past victories. Here's what we understand. David remembered his past victories. Statement number one. Statement number two. David remembered a time when he stepped out by faith. By faith. Well, preacher, I just don't know if I can step out by faith. Remember the day when you did. When you remember the day that you did, you'll remember how easy it was and how God, stay with me, can do it again. Amen. Now watch this. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 37, David said, moreover, the Lord hath delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear. He will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go and the Lord be with thee. Now, he didn't say, David, let's go. Saul didn't say, come on, buddy, buddy system, let's go. He didn't do that. Here's the king saying, hey, ho-ho, know you're going to face the giant in your life? I don't think I can do it, but God bless you. You go do it. You know, no, most people cannot face the giant in your life because that's a giant real only to you. Now, by the way, this giant was real physically. This giant was real and was coming in the life of a younger man. He stood there, and here he is standing by himself, but he's not standing by himself because he can remember there's a God in heaven. Bible says he'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Bible says he sticketh closer than a brother. But preacher, I don't understand. How can I face it? You're not facing it alone. You're not traveling down life's road all by yourself. Well, my husband don't understand me. My wife doesn't understand me. My children don't understand me. Church members don't understand me. My pastor doesn't understand me. Preacher, what do I do? Don't forget, God always understands you. Statement number one, David remembered his past victories. Statement number two, David remembered a time when he stepped out by faith. Now, Saul is going to try and help him a little bit. Thank God for those that have enough interest. When you go through a problem, they try and help you a little bit. Thank God for the guy. The gal sees you walking down the hallway. They see that you got poochy lip disease. Your bottom lip is sagging between your two big toes. You're barely able to walk. You're stumbling. You're falling. You can't get up. Hey, thank God for those that walk beside you enough to pick you up a little bit. Here comes Saul. Saul says, okay, I want to help you. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 38. The Bible says, and Saul armed David with his armor and put, it says, gave him his helmet and the brass upon his head and armed him with his coat of mail. And David girded on upon his armor and assailed to go. And but the Bible says, but he couldn't do it because he hadn't proved him wasn't something that he was used to. See, you can't get victory over your giants in your life by stepping out in somebody else's faith. You know, we live in a society, everybody wants success. I'll prove it to you, Normally, a person that wants to live in the era of the success of another, they do not go by the jersey of the person that's a klutz on the football field. This is the guy that couldn't do nothing. They don't do that. You know what they do? They go and they buy the jersey of the guy that is the best. You know why? Because they're trying to live in the image of another. They're not successful, but they want to feel some success. So what do? They try to identify with success. Hey, Saul said, I can't go fight him, but I'd like to help you be successful a little bit so you can wear my jersey. Now, it's a little bit heavy. It's made of mail. You can wear my helmet. Imagine that. Here's this guy much younger than Saul, weighted down, got the sword. He can't do it. He had to operate in his zone. He had to operate with what he knew. Watch this, if you will. Notice your Bible, verse 39. Don't you love the Bible? Amen. You can do better than that. We're a Baptist church. Don't you love the Bible? Amen. Here it is. 1 Samuel 17, verse 39, the Bible says, and David girded on his sword upon his armor. The Bible says, and assailed to go forth, for he hath not proved them. And David said unto Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not proved them. And David put them off. So David decided, I just can't do it. Hey, I know a lot of preachers that say, man, I wish I could preach like that guy. Man, I wish I had the delivery skills of that guy. Man, I wish I could copy his personality. But you can't. Hey, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. Thank God you're you. God did not make a mistake when he made you. God did not make a mistake when he put you in your house. It's not by accident you're in this church. You're hearing this message. You have another person sitting beside you. Hey, thank God that we have individuals. Now, everybody needs help. Years ago, the scientists said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to see how long the rat will survive. They took two rats. Took each one of the rats, put them in a jar of water. One rat they put in a dark room, no light. Going to see how long he can swim. By the way, I didn't do this. The scientists said, don't get mad at me. Wanted to see how long it could swim. Rat in the dark room lasted 3 minutes. Drowned. Went to rat. There is no rat heaven. Went to the rat grave. Drowned. 3 minutes. Took another one. You knew there was no rat heaven, right? Okay, good. Took the other rat, put it in a dark room, but with just a single little ray of light. Ray of light. Just a little bit. Little ray of light shining in. Rat swam and swam and swam for over 30 minutes. So what's that to do with the sermon, preacher? Sometimes somebody just needs a little ray of light. Sometimes somebody needs you in their life to give them just a little bit of hope. Have you ever figured this out? It's a dark world out there. You ever figured that out yet? Have you figured it out that you probably got more against you than for you? Have you figured that out yet? Have you figured it out? And that's how come, hey, Sunday morning, hey, you're going to hear the truth. Preacher's going to get up. That hurt. That's a harder pulpit than the other one had. Preacher's going to get up. Preacher's going to preach. He's going to encourage your heart. Hey, why do I do that on a Sunday morning? I'll tell you why. Because some of you only get to come Sunday morning. Hey, I'm going to give you the truth. You're going to hear it. It's not going to be all rosy. Hey, let's just all hold hands, stand around, sing kumbaya. Man, you need more than that. Now, I'm sorry for people that go to churches where the man of God gets up, tells a bunch of stories, never points to a Bible, never... Hey, you're going to get Bible! Amen. David remembered his past. Reaching back there, man, what do I do, God? What do I do? What do I do? It's terrible. What do I do? How do I face it? Got to be something. Hey, I remember past victory. God, is there anything else you could use to encourage me? Well, I remember stepping out by faith. God, is there anything else you could do to encourage me? I'm by myself. They're going to stone me. These are mean guys. I know. I trained them. Here it is. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 40. Bible says he took his staff in his hand, chose five smooth stones out of the brook. That was for Goliath and his brothers. Normally, where there's one giant, others will follow. Bible says that he put them in the shepherd's bag that he had, even in a scrip. And watch it, his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. All right, so what did he do? Statement number one, he remembered his past victory. Statement number two, he remembered when he stepped out by faith. Statement number three, he remembered that he used what he had. What he had. He didn't rely on anything else. Well, preacher, can I have some of your faith? Sure, here. Won't work. Preacher, can I have something that you've got? Sure, here it is. Won't work. Sometimes you got to use your faith when facing your problems. So he remembered, I'm going to hurry, he remembered to use what he had. Statement number next, David remembered God's power is what gave him the victory. You cannot do it by yourself. Here's what my Bible says, arm of the flesh shall fail you. You can't rely on you. Well, you know, I think I can do it. You can't. By the way, you've already proved you can't. Well, here it is. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 45. The Bible says, then said David unto the Philistine, "Come," he says, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. And here's big Goliath, got this little short guy out there holding a shield. Okay, here we go. With a sword, with a spear, with a shield, he said, I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. He said, the armies, it says, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou defilest. He said, man, you're coming with me of all this armor. I'm going to take care of you, boy. He said, but I'm just coming with what I have. Look at verse 46, almost done. Here it is. Says, this day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. I will take, you imagine this? You're facing this big guy. He's got a sword. He's got a spear. Got a shield. You're coming. Got a sling. That guy's a professional fighter facing a kind of a red hair type of boy, if you will, with a sling. Okay, black hair boy, with a sling. Short guy. Oh, okay, wait, watch this. The Bible says, this day the Lord will deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee. This is what he's telling the giant. He said, I will smite thee. I will take thine head from thee. I will give, it says, the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, to the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He said, I'm not doing this for me. He said, look, I'm telling you. Now, can you imagine? Here David's at Ziklag. He's thinking back. These are the guys that walked beside me just a few days prior. These are the guys that we served together. These are the guys that we went forward together. And now all of a sudden we come back. I'm facing the same thing they are. But he said, I've got some news. I'm going to encourage myself. So he reaches back into his backpack, pulls out past victories, steps out by faith, remembers, used what he had, remembers, used and understood it was God's power that did it. Now I'll give you this. Then David remembered to give God the victory. Got one more thing and I'm done. David remembered to give God the victory. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 46, the Bible said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. So David now is not going to walk around and say, ho, ho, woo, look what I did. Man, let me tell you about the day that I walked out there and I knew God was going to use me because I'm David. Yes. The shepherd boy. You cannot get to a point in a place, because here's what happened. You get the point in a place where you think that you've got the answer, you're going to come up dry. You're going to come up short. Now, so David remembered to give God the glory. One last point. Here it is. I'm done. Here it goes. David remembered to give God the glory, but listen to it. But he kept something to remind him. What? Neat. I'm done. Here it is. 1 Samuel 17, verse 54. The Bible says, and David took the head of the Philistine. Now, you understand, this is a big guy. Here's little David, big head. Big head. Took it. Took it. Sliced it off. That's better than the rat story. Head of Goliath. He's walking through town. You imagine this, Brother Smell? Walking through town. Man, you know, 3-foot type of head, big ears, nose. Walking through town, holding it by the hair, walking through town. It's like, hey, man, look at the fish I caught. You ever do that? Man, look at the car I bought. Look where we live. You ever do that? I don't think he was doing it with that attitude. I think he was doing it with the attitude of, God, you've been so good. Amen. Couldn't have did this without you. I did this because I knew that you deserved the glory. He didn't want to go out there and fight that giant. Amen. Matter of fact, he even told the giant, he said, this day the Lord will deliver me, deliver thee into mine hand. Yeah. The Lord! He wasn't doing it in his own flesh. Here it is, verse 54. Bible says, and David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. Where did he put it? I love it. And he put his armor in his tent. So here's what he does. Brings that head. Maybe he puts it out there in front of his tent. I don't know. Maybe he gives it to the kids. And say, hey, bowling time. I have no idea. No idea. No idea. Okay? But I know this. He takes the armor and he puts it in the tent. Every day, David could look over in the corner of the tent and say, I remember. I remember. Come on. I lived in Brooklyn, New York. My wife and I just got married, no children. Lived in Brooklyn, New York. Every time I go back to Brooklyn, I look and I remember. Victory, victory. Victory, victory. We moved to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We went south. First time in my life, culture shock. Victory, victory, victory. left Hattiesburg, Mississippi, went to Tennessee, pastored, 12 years of evangelism after that, then here. Here's what I can do. I can say, boy, I tell you what, hey, it's terrible. I'm going to die. No, every single place, here's what we've seen. By the way, do you go through the valleys? It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But here's what I found out. In going through the valleys, you don't sit down in them. Amen. Woe is me. Life is terrible. I just don't think I'm going to make it. You don't sit down in them. You know, the Bible says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Man, something hit me broadside. What do I do, preacher? You keep walking. You just keep walking. Oh, but I'm praying the prayer and God's not answering my prayer. What do I do, preacher? You just keep praying. But I'm reading my Bible and not getting anything out of my Bible. What do I do, preacher? You just keep reading. That's what you do. Well, I came to church and nobody shook my hand. What do I do, preacher? Go in the bathroom. Look in the mirror. Shake your own hand. That way you can go home and say, I shook the hand of the best person in the church. I get up here early. My secretary gets here early, along with other people, many people on the property here. One of the ladies came in today. Brother Lofton said, preacher, you need to pray for your secretary. She's talking to herself. I said, really? You know, she said, yeah, she's talking to herself. She's probably going crazy. And she's being, you know, arrogant. As Tracy would. I said, no, Tracy, that's not true. What she was trying to do is find somebody she could talk to that was intelligent, found none, so she talked to herself. She said, well. And of course, we're friends, and so we joke around. Now watch this, if you will. Here's what you see. David discouraged. Wives taken, children taken. I'm talking about dark, gloomy day. You ever have one? You ever have one? Nothing going right. His own buddies turning. You ever have one? You ever have one? You know, you pick something up, just doesn't work. Or it did work before you picked it up. You ever have? Everything I touch, it breaks. Stop touching. Remember the past victories. Remember the time you stepped out by faith. Remember God used what you had. Remember to go in God's power. Remember to give God the glory. Remember, put something in your tent that reminds you, God can do it again. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.